Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry Wickstrom. And, you know, it's looking like a beautiful day out there. And this time of the year, it really gets difficult for me. There is just so much going on in Colorado. We're going to talk a lot of fishing today because that's really where I'm at right now. But the hunting seasons are on. You know, we had teal season. We've got upland game coming up. We've got the archery seasons and the muzzleloader seasons were going on, the pronghorn seasons. We just have so much. And Ed Gorman's going to join us later in the show to talk to you about a new program or an addition to an existing program, walk-in access for big game. We're going to cover that today. I'm excited about that. And, of course, Ed is the manager of Small Game in Colorado. He's going to give us an early preview on what his thoughts are for the upcoming pheasant season. And I think he thinks it's pretty good, but you're going to have to stay tuned to hear that. We're also going to take you to a bunch of different spots today. We're going to take you all the way from Blue Mesa up to Dillon. And, of course, Nate Zielinski will take us places. Ronnie's coming on. Bernie Keefe will join us. We'll talk about Granby. But let's go to the phones right now. And we have a new contributor that's joining us for the first time on the show. And that's Andy Cochran from Gunnison Sports Outfitters up in the Blue Mesa area. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Terry. How are we today?
Doing great. How's the weather up there today?
Well, we're mid-30s this morning. Not a cloud in the sky, no wind. Beautiful day.
And that'll warm up fairly quickly and get really comfortable, won't it?
Yeah, we'll probably be pushing 70 degrees today. We get to see some wild temperature swings in our country over here, as you know.
I know. As I fish some of the mountain lakes in the fall, and I love to fish them in the fall, I always tell people if they're coming with me, you know, people think, well, it's going to be 75 down on the Front Range and it's supposed to be 65 or 70 up in the mountains. And I'll go, you know, we're getting out early. Bring some clothes because it'll be a little chilly on the water, but bring layers because you'll be taking them off. But it's just gorgeous and beautiful. I imagine you've got leaves turning color up there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. Our seasons seem to be a couple weeks behind this year. We're just starting to see the first yellow leaves of any kind of numbers, and it looks pretty this morning, though. It's definitely fall.
You know, you brought up a point. What a difference a year makes. Last year, you guys had no water up in that Gunnison, Blue Mesa area. It was tragic, you know, and people were really concerned. We had just an outstanding winter. And then throughout the whole state, or actually all of the north, the Rockies and northern United States, spring or late winter just didn't want to go away. We didn't really get any warm weather till well into the end of June, which probably saved us from some flooding because it made the runoff come down slower. But lots of water, the runoff coming so late. And then it got super hot. And now we're looking at a fall that seems to be delayed a little bit because the water, when it did warm up, it shot up over those 2 months. So let's kind of look at the conditions. Let's talk about Blue Mesa first. What's going on in Blue Mesa? I assume you got good water levels. What kind of water temperature?
Yeah, like you say, Terry, it's historically low water levels. Last year, we were 83 feet low. And thankfully, that big winter and big wet spring, none of us saw it coming, but the lake filled to 99.8% of capacity this summer, which is unheard of volume of water. So as you can imagine, it made the fishing a little tough this summer with the lake filling at over 2 feet a day rate for like 6 weeks in a row, but we're glad to have our water. So
in the long
run, now,
go ahead.
Right now, in 14 years of guiding on this lake, I've never seen the lake this full this time of year. It has got a ton of water in it, and it looks fantastic.
Well, you know, you mentioned that it makes fishing tough because it does a couple things. First, it changes the temperatures of the water at different times, which we really experienced this year. And it also places that you fished before, you can't fish memories because the spots are different. And with that much volume, the fish even get spread out and there's more water to cover. So fishermen do struggle. Now, long term, it's going to bode so well for that fishery because now you were down, you got some growth, you're going to get nutrients into the water. But it does affect the fishing, and I know it's been off and on and different this summer. What's going on fishing-wise in Blue Mesa right now?
So right now, the main thing in the whole Gunnison Basin right now is the kokanee salmon. Of course, this is one of the biggest salmon runs in the whole western U.S., so it's a big draw here. Most of our fish have left the lake and are running up towards the Roaring Judy hatchery towards Crested Butte from Gunnison. So fly fishing on the river right now is kind of the big draw. But as far as the lake goes, there's still a pretty good-sized resident fish population that spawns out in the lake, and we're still finding good numbers of those fish holding out in deep water where we can jig for them right now. So that is still going on really, really strong.
Yeah, this time of the year. By the way, if people want to go to my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, which is my legacy television shows, I actually did a fly fishing show on the river up there. It's fly fishing for those kokanee, and I think it's just phenomenal. And if you do it right, while you're fishing for them, it's mostly catch and release in a lot of those areas, and that's fine. But you'll catch some nice browns and rainbows while you're doing it too, won't you?
You're exactly right. Yeah, the trout have definitely learned how to follow the salmon run just as well as we have. It's pretty funny to watch the rainbow and brown trout in the river right now just gorging on eggs as these salmon run up the river and spill eggs out as they run there. The egg pattern on the river right now is the thing to run, and it can be 100 fish trout days. Right in the middle of all these hard, big fighting salmon, too. It's a really good time of year to be on the Gunnison River.
Oh, I love it up there. It's one of my favorite times to fish up there. Kind of a side note, I assume that the Parks and Wildlife is taking spawn from the salmon. Are they giving away fish up there?
Yeah, they usually start that program the first Friday in October up at the Roaring Judy Hatchery. So they'll be starting that, I guess, this next coming week.
Yeah, even if you don't fish, this is a great time to come up, see the colors. It's beautiful, and you can leave with a cooler full of kokanee that they'll give you, or come up and fish for them and release the ones you catch in the river, and then go get a few to take home with you. It's a great time. Let's talk about some of the other fish up in the lake, though. Right now, you know, it's also known for lake trout. It's known for brown trout. It does have a decent rainbow population. We'll talk about those. But there's a newcomer over the last decade that was illegally introduced, and that's the yellow perch. What's going on with them?
Yeah, yellow perch got put in this lake back in the late 90s. It took a really long time for them to catch hold, but they finally did. Great sport fish for sure, and definitely great table fare. There's no limit on them here, and it really is our belief that the next state record that comes out of this lake is going to be a yellow perch. So we're starting to catch some really big ones and really big numbers of big ones.
But and yellow.
And historically, late fall like this is one late summer, early fall is probably the peak season to come up here and try to get these really jumbo perch.
Well, and they're a great table fare, as you said. They taste just, you know, they're part of the walleye family. Hopefully, you know, they were introduced illegally, which does cause management issues, and hopefully that won't affect the other management of the lake. But those perch, what kind of depths are you finding the perch at this time of the year?
Well, you can find the smaller ones in big, big numbers, very shallow, like 5-10 foot. But if you're wanting to target these little bit bigger fish, you're going to want to pull out about 20 to 30 feet right now. And you could be at the mouth of any kind of bay or any offshore hump. It's going to hold these bigger fish in the fall.
You know, I love to pull up, and I've got spot lock on my trolling motor. And those, when you find those schools of bigger fish, they'll just kind of work back and forth through, and you can jig for them. Is that how you guys fish for them?
Yeah, they're a little bit more nomadic, too, where they seem to roam, like you say, a little bit more, so you're kind of got to cover a lot of water until you run into the right kind of bites and then try to replicate that around the lake. And just, we like to hit a lot of spots, fish a spot for 30 minutes, hit another one, and kind of just catch the timing as these bigger fish schools run across these spots. It's not something where you're just going to sit there and load the boat, but if you can kind of get the pattern dialed in, you can run these spots and kind of maximize your time on the water.
Now, with the
water, we had one angler this spring caught a 16 and 7/8 inch perch. So,
wow.
Like I say, we're starting to see some really big ones out here.
That is fantastic. Now, what's going on with the browns and rainbows? I used to love to come up to Blue Mesa and fish the browns in the fall when the water got colder, and it was almost like bass fishing. You'd cast jigs right up against the shore, just like you would plastic worms for bass, and sometimes crankbaits too. Is any of that going on? Is the water still too warm? Is that bite not the same as it was?
Yeah, it's a little delayed. Water temps right now are still in the mid-60s, so we need this thing to cool off quite a bit. It'll probably be closer to the second rifle season into Halloween before we start seeing that bite really pick up. So, you know, if a guy wants to target trout right now on Blue Mesa, it's pretty tough. We have a pretty significant algae bloom going on, which is normal for the lake for the time of year. But like, say, with the new water level and all the nutrients that ran into the lake this year, it seems like the algae's worse than normal. It's not blue-green toxic algae. There's nothing scary about it. It's just in the water column about the top 15 feet. So it makes – normally we would troll for those fish this time of year, but it's making it really tough. It's hard to get downriggers and lines down without – algae buildup and then pulling lines off. And so right now the trout fishing is a little tough, but we look for it to be, like, say, around the 20th of October all the way through Halloween. That's going to be probably our peak trout season right now.
Now, the water being that warm, I assume the lake trout are pretty deep too. Are they showing up at all, or is it just too early to target them really?
We've been catching a few small lake trout when we're out jigging for salmon in that 80-100 foot range. Haven't really noticed any big fish on the sonar when we've been out doing that kind of stuff. So historically, those real big fish are going to be 150 feet plus for most of their day. They'll come up relatively shallow and feed when they need to, but pulling fish out of that kind of water depth, as much as we like to protect these big lake trout, we basically just leave them alone until this thing cools off and it brings them up to a more manageable depth to catch them at.
Yeah, and it's difficult. Most fishermen have a difficult time fishing 100, 150 feet deep, too. It's not easy. I mean, boat control becomes a real issue. The amount of weights you use, what you're doing, it can be difficult. Now, I haven't fished the lake trout at Blue Mesa very much. I do a lot at Granby. Now, Granby in the fall gets a great spawn bite that you don't see necessarily. Blue Mesa doesn't seem to experience that fall spawn bite, so you kind of start catching the fish maybe post-spawn? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, the way the BOR manages our water levels in the fall makes it a little hard for these fish to successfully spawn most of the time. They're trying to push shallow, but typically by the time November comes around when these fish are looking to spawn, they're starting to pull a lot of water out of this lake. So it makes a lot of those lake trout spawn deeper than you would see them in a lot of other lakes. So it is a little bit tougher. So we can go around the shoreline and throw big jerk baits and big jigs and try to get a reaction bite out of some of these spawning fish that are shallow enough to do that for. But probably your best bet is the post-spawn bite, which is mid to late November and then all the way through until you can't get a boat on there or walk the shore anymore when it ices over.
Right. I have a question for you because I've been thinking about this. Now, the lake trout in Blue Mesa have tended to grow large because of the substantial kokanee population, and they're able to use the predate on that population. The kokanee have fluctuated up and down, but they're still really good. But the perch, now, during the summer, the perch are going to be in too warm of water for the lake trout, I would think. But when you get into late fall, winter, and early spring, are those lake trout taking advantage of those perch?
Yeah, so there's kind of a big prevailing theory around the whole management of this lake, and it's interesting you bring up that point. Our perch population in this lake tends to winter in 60 to 80 feet of water. And so that puts them right in the face of all our lake trout all winter long. So the lake trout historically have done a really, really good job of keeping our perch population in check all the way through the winter. When we started to see salmon numbers decline a decade or so ago, the state started doing their lake trout removal, and they were targeting our smaller lake trout. 16 to 24 inches was their target number, pulling those extra small lake trout out of the lake to try to protect the kokanee fry when they enter the lake in the spring. And I guess one side effect that they didn't see coming was by removing that certain predator base also allowed for the perch population to really, really ramp up. And that's why we've seen that perch population over the last 6-8 years really skyrocket, because we've taken away that main predator for the perch, which is the lake trout.
Andy, we are way out of time, but if people want more information from you or book a guide trip or get a hold of you, how do they do that?
You can look me up on my website. It's gsofishing.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, or you can feel free to give me a call as well.
And GSO stands for Gunnison Sports Outfitters.
Gunnison Sports Outfitters, correct.
All right, my friend, thank you so much. We'll get you back on as the season progresses, and thank you for all that information.
You bet. Everybody enjoy your weekend.
All right. Thank you, Andy. That's Andy Cochran from Blue Mesa. I tell you what, we ran over a little bit, but we're going to give plenty of time to this next segment, because I got a feeling the fishing is going to be phenomenal, what you're going to hear about in this next segment right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.